Hello and welcome to an Everything Iconic Pop Dive with me, Danny Pellegrino, where my guests and I deep dive into iconic pop culture touchstones. Today we're diving into Queen Mary-Kate and Queen Ashley Olsen. Born June 13, 1986, they are former child actors that starred in classic TV like Full House, Two of a Kind, and So Little Time, plus made-for-video classics like Billboard Dad and Passport to Paris, and the iconic big-screen adventures It Takes Two and New York Minute. As business moguls, they started Dual Star Entertainment and currently run The Row, which is just part of their fashion empire. I invited friend and host of Sexy Unique Podcast and Babe, Laura Marie Shaneholz, to discuss the Olsen twins' impact on the entertainment industry, fashion, and so much more. This is an Everything Iconic Pop Dive into Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. Hi, Laura Marie.
Hi.
I'm so excited that you're here. We haven't podcasted together in a while.
I know. It's been a really long time.
And here's the thing. So I do these pop dives on the show, and they're usually about one specific topic. And I get requests. People say, like, I want you to cover this or that. And one of the things that came up time and time again was Mary-Kate and Ashley, Of course, queens of our time.
Yeah.
And I heard from a little bird, he told me that Laura Marie is a huge Mary-Kate and Ashley fan.
Huge MK&A fan.
Now, so of course I was like, okay, get over here. Like immediately I texted you and I was like, when can you get over here? And I want to know why are you such a Mary-Kate and Ashley fan?
Okay. So I feel like there's a lot of reasons. Like one, I kind of grew up with them. Like we're in the same age range. So like they were kids when I was a kid and got to see them as children and then mature into like college students for 1 year.
Right. And wait, they never finished.
I think they were there for like maybe one or maybe two semesters.
Sure.
But the transition of like child star to just like fashion icons was, I remember like where I was when I saw Mary-Kate wearing like all those layers of like boho with like cowboy boots and like a striped like scarf.
Where were you?
I was in Chicago. I was in my apartment just like looking at things online, like looking, probably reading like Perez Hilton or something, and or like D-listed back in the day. And I was, no, it was pre, it was in Oklahoma because I remember I bought like a bunch of those types of clothes to wear in Chicago when I moved there.
Like, I'm going to look just like them.
It was her and, like, Sienna Miller kind of had their, like, boho renaissance fashion moment at the same time. Right. So I just, like, went to Chicago looking like Bojangles with, like, all these, like, bangles and, like, all sorts of shit and, like, huge sunglasses, like, really living it up.
What a time.
Yeah.
What a time. Now, did you watch them? You watched Full House as a child, or
I watched Full House. I just assume anyone Full House head. Like, okay. I wasn't allowed to watch a lot of TV, so
was that too risque for you?
That wasn't. That would have been on the okay list, but we were just like not really. We were like allowed 30 minutes a day, so like Nickelodeon was my like where I went with that.
What was your 30-minute Nickelodeon?
My Nickelodeon shows were like Are You Afraid of the Dark? Wow. Or like Rocco's Modern Life, Hey Dude, Your Shorts. But that got on the chopping block because they said fart during it, and that was like a cuss word according to my mom.
Oh my god, I didn't know you had strict parents.
Oh, I had such strict parents. That's probably why I like am obsessed with TV now.
Sure.
And like need to watch it all the time.
Yeah. I loved Full House from the jump. I was a Full House head, and I've watched Fuller House. I've seen every single episode. And
really?
Yeah, I do these things where when I'm in the mood, I'll just grab a bottle of wine and I will binge Fuller House. Like, and I will, by the end of my binge, I will be wasted. Like, and I don't drink a whole ton, but I feel like every few months I'll hop on Netflix when I don't have anything or like I'm just kind of in the mood and I grab that bottle of wine and I allow myself to dive in unapologetically and I will just go episode to episode to episode. And I'm so fascinated by it. And it's the worst show of all time.
Yeah, I've heard that it's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's terrible, but I love it.
So I love your night for two for one.
Yeah.
And your bottle of wine.
No, I lock my boyfriend out of the room and I'm just like, I'm getting full on Fuller House. And then I usually end up like drunk tweeting it. I mean, there was one time where I drunk tweeted the entire cast like while I'm watching it.
I'm sad that Mary, well, I think it's a power move that they're not on Fuller House. Like, totally. That's really chic of them.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Okay, cool.
So we're going to kind of run through their career and just chat through it. And I mean, we have a lot to get to. This, we're just scratching the surface on these two because they've been through so much.
They've been through so much. Like, they've been on the radar since they were, what, 6 months old?
Yeah, 9 months old.
9 months old.
And they were both hired on Full House in 87 because child labor laws wouldn't let them both, or wouldn't let one child film that much.
Yeah.
So they both shared the role of Michelle.
May I have that cupcake, please?
No, you may not.
But I was polite and I said, please.
I was polite too. I said, no, you may not.
Guess what? Politeness week is over.
What a, like...
What a performance.
What a performance. A tour de force. And also, smart parents. I know. I'm looking for a cash cow that, like... I'm not trying to exploit anyone, but I'm like, if you're cute and talented.
No, I'm looking to exploit. I mean,
I'll take you to the set.
The amount of money that these kids, and I'm endlessly fascinated. We're going to go through their career, but I'm so fascinated by their shift into this business. I mean, into business women. And,
yeah.
And I wonder how much, I'm very curious about the parents. I'd love to do a deep dive into them and see like what is their, they're obviously very intelligent business people, the parents.
Yeah, clearly. And it seems like, I mean, I haven't heard any sort of like bad, like rumors about their parents. Cause I feel like it's like, you either have like a Lindsay Lohan or Bella Thorne type of relationship with your mom or dad. And then, or you like go the MKA route.
Sure.
You're just like amazing.
Sure. So in 1987, that's when Full House premiered, and then again,
premiered
again, tour de force performance. And then it's interesting, in 1992, that's when they shifted to these made for TV or made for video projects. So 92 was To Grandmother's House We Go.
Okay.
That was the first of them.
Twin behinds back into your twin bed.
It's Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Hello.
What are you rugrats doing in here?
We're trying to get to Grandma's.
Rhea Perlman and Jerry Van Dyke join the Olsen twins in a Christmas adventure.
Stop those girls!
For the entire family.
Do you know Santa Claus?
We're in the army together.
Are you making this up?
To Grandmother's House We Go.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
And then they created Dual Star in 1993, and that was when they really leaned in. So that was the Double Double Toil and Trouble, mm-hmm. How the West Was Fun.
Okay, I remember that one.
Their mystery series, The Adventures of Mary-Kate and Ashley. That was like their early, you know, foray into making a lot of this, lot of money. And also the first of its kind, because at that time, I feel like that was when VHS really started to take off. Mm-hmm. Because you think back into the early 90s, and they found a niche that didn't exist before of these home video projects. Do you what did you say you remembered about?
I remembered How the West Was Fun, and then I think like I watched a couple. I wasn't so into like the VHS ones because I feel like I was like I wasn't even allowed to watch that much
too
TV,
risque,
so it was like
you.
Too much. But like when they did It Takes Two, which I'm sure you're getting to eventually, mm-hmm. That was my jam.
That was your
it was
jam.
The ultimate comedy.
Yeah, I agree. I remember watching To Grandmother's House We Go because it was like a holiday thing. And then even their classic Halloween film, Double Double Toil and Trouble, I will stop and watch like at any given moment, whether it's on my TV or the DMV, like I'm watching it. But the It Takes Two was when I really took notice.
Yeah.
I mean, that was their first theatrical feature.
Yeah, I wanted like big budget. Like I was much more, if it was going to be like a niche, like holiday themed thing, I was always like an Ernest girl, like Ernest Goes Here, There.
Oh my God. I thought you meant like, I like earnest performances, you know, like.
No, I look for really earnest performances in child actors. So I really had to leave those Olsen twin VHSs behind. No, I was like talking
Ernest Saves Christmas,
Ernest Scared Stupid, Ernest Goes to Camp, and Ernest Goes to Jail.
Let's take a little detour. Now what?
Jim Varney.
What drew you to Jim Varney at such a young age?
I just love it. He's so funny. He's like so funny to me. I'm thinking of him now. I'm lolling. He truly is maybe one of my favorite actors that I'm just realizing at this very moment. Ernest Scared Stupid scared me stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, and made you laugh. I mean, he did it all, really.
Both. Both, two of my favorite things.
You know, come to think of it, people say that Nightmare Before Christmas is the perfect Halloween / Christmas film, but maybe it's Ernest, the Ernest series.
It's Ernest, for sure. 100%.
Okay, so this has turned into an Ernest pop dive.
Yeah.
But let's talk about It Takes Two, because I really did love this. And I remember my friend, my best friend at the time, Michael Manarino, he invited this girl that I had a crush on to go see It Takes Two.
Oh my God. How old were you?
I mean, this was 95, so I was 10.
Okay.
But I remember he got his parents to either drop them off at the movies or sit far away from them at the movies. And I remember being so jealous at 10 years old.
Yeah. That's pretty risque.
Right. I mean, they were on a date.
They were on a date.
And I remember having a conversation afterwards being like, oh my God, it was your first date.
That's like, what, third grade?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Now that I'm saying it, now it really...
you and your friends were dating.
I was dating at 10.
That's a claim to fame if I've ever heard one.
But actually, I should change that because I wasn't dating. This is why I wasn't allowed to date, but he was able to get his parents to
His parents literally were like, yes, go on a date, my 10-year-old son.
That's
shocking. At least they sat in the theater. I mean, what can two 10-year-olds really do during It Takes Two?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't invited.
We'll have to contact Michael Manarino and get him to weigh in.
But that movie, I mean, speaking of romance, that I truly believe that that was one of the greatest romances of our time, Steve Guttenberg and Kirstie Alley.
Yeah, they were a power couple. It had a lot of will they or won't they? The twins brought the lols. It was a great, I saw it in theaters as well.
Do you think it's better than The Parent Trap, equal to, or worse?
I preferred it to The Parent Trap.
Me too.
I thought The Parent Trap is at the time I thought it was a silly kind of.
Yeah.
But then I rewatch it and I'm like, wow, Lindsay Lohan was so talented, RIP. Sure. But this was the ultimate Parent Trap movie for me.
Yeah, I mean, no shade at all to Parent Trap. I love The Parent Trap. I truly do. But something about It Takes Two is a little edgier. And I think the romance, the bigger romance between the adults is better in It Takes Two. The Steve Guttenberg, Kirstie Alley. I mean, they have that scene in the cafeteria with the food fight that I think is up there with our greatest cinematic scenes. And then the follow-up of when they're in the lake, washing off the food. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Wow. It's been a while. I need to rewatch this movie.
I mean, it's romance.
It's pure romance. And Kirstie Alley is one of the greatest comedians.
Sure. Right up there with Ernest.
Born. Yeah. Right. Ernest, Kirstie Alley.
Did you ever see Kirstie's Showtime show?
Fat Actress.
Fat Actress.
Yeah,
it's good.
That was so good.
Yeah.
It ages really well, too. I borrowed the DVD set from a friend a couple years ago and binged it. You might need to have a bottle of wine and a binge sesh. Fat Actress.
I also loved Veronica's Closet, which was the most middle of the road NBC comedy they've ever done. And I watched every episode.
Yeah, same. That was one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, but so It Takes Two. It was fantastic. And it led us to believe that there would be more big screen outings between the Olsen twins. But ultimately, I think at such a young age, being twins, it was hard to find a vehicle that wasn't that.
Yeah. That was what they were kind of sold as.
Yeah.
Which I would get tired of if I were them as well.
Yeah. There was also that great speech, what love is in It Takes Two. It's the reach for the stars or whatever. Do you remember? Well,
no.
I'll put it in here.
Yeah, put it in here.
Besides, you don't want to be an orphan forever. They won't let me adopt you on my salary. Besides that, you know what? You deserve a mother and a father.
So get a husband.
It's not like buying a car, you know.
I know it's got to be that can't eat, can't sleep, reach for the stars, over the fence, World Series kind of stuff, right?
Well, a girl's got to have her standard.
Yeah, it was
an inspiring pure moment.
I feel like I definitely had it as an away message at some point on my AIM.
Filling out the AIM profiles and being favorite quote, reach for the stars.
I didn't want anyone to know I was gay, so I just left off that it was from It Takes Two. You know?
I love that.
All the girls knew.
Yeah.
What was your AIM? Did you have an AIM screen name?
I had an AIM. I think it was Flo or Flower.
Flo?
Yeah, because my nickname from my friends in middle school was Flo. We all was a group of us girls and we all gave each other silly nicknames. And mine was Flo.
Oh my God, can I call you Flo?
do it. Let's start that.
Okay, I want to.
We can start it right here on this podcast.
Okay, so this Ernest Pop Dive is going great with Flo.
Jim Varney fan club meetup. Let's get the community together.
I really feel like I need to rewatch an Ernest movie now because I love them too.
Ernest Scared Stupid is legit like a horror movie. There's a scene in it that I think of almost every other day, I would say, where like one of the main character girls, like, because I think he releases like some evil trolls on the community. I'm pretty sure he like evil trolls get released. Sure. And then one of the main girls is like laying in bed and she hears like a weird noise. So she rolled over and looks under her bed and it's like, what's going to be there? And then nothing's there. So then she rolls back over and there's a troll laying in bed with her that like steals her and takes her soul. It was so terrifying.
I need to rewatch this before Halloween immediately.
Halloween movie.
I don't know why people don't talk about it in the same breath as the Halloween films.
Me neither.
Also, where's the Rob Zombie remake?
Ugh, that would be major. Jim Varney has passed away, isn't he?
Who do you think could replace him?
I volunteer as tribute.
You know, in the Toy Story movies, they replaced him with that one actor who's been in like Home Improvement and like a bunch of random like sitcom comedy. Because Jim Varney was the voice of Slinky the dog in the Toy Story movies.
Oh.
And there's a guy that sounds literally exactly like him, but he's like a sitcom actor, like a, you know.
Was he like in Home Improvement, like the neighbor we never saw?
No, he wasn't Wilson. He didn't have that great of a role. His role wasn't as iconic as Wilson in Home Improvement.
That bucket hat, though.
Truly, I mean, I just was reading that they were going to reboot Home Improvement. Did you hear that?
But I feel like I just psychically knew that. Like, I intuited it once you said Home Improvement. I was like, when is that coming?
Yeah, and I think Wilson's dead, so they would have had to find someone else to do.
Good thing we never really saw his face.
But so the guy was, I feel like he was just a guest actor in Home Improvement or something. He played like a friend. I don't know why that's
it's
all
like
I can remember.
It's like a friend of
him.
Tim Allen's Tim was like, get this guy in here.
Yeah, and he's been in other stuff. Like if you saw him, you'd be like, oh, I've seen that guy before. Okay. You would not know his name. You would not know what he's been in. But you'd be like, I think maybe he was in Home Improvement. Anyway, he replaced Jim Varney in the Toy Story films.
I stand with Jim.
Right. But so then I was thinking, what if that guy was the new Ernest?
Yeah.
But.
Not
a fan. Mm-mm. It should be a woman. They're doing
or
a lot
Kirstie
of these.
Alley right. as Ernest. Like she needs to come back because she actually is like so good.
She's really talented.
She's raw talent.
They're doing a lot of these like gender swap remakes. So it'd be like Ernesta goes to jail or whatever.
Yeah. Ernestine.
Okay, so back to Mary-Kate and Ashley. So their home video success continued. They did movies like Billboard Dad, Passport to Paris, Switching Goals. Holiday in the Sun, which was basically like an infomercial for Atlantis.
Yeah, the Holiday in the Sun is a classic.
Did you see that one?
Yeah, I've rewatched it like pretty recently, I would say, in the past like 5 years.
And Megan Fox is in it.
I know.
Like, that's shocking.
That was shocking.
Excuse me. Oh, were you in line? Brianna Wallace, messages please.
Certainly, Miss Wallace. And how is your father today?
In the casino, wondering why this is taking so long.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. And thank you. Next time, take a number.
You know, back when that came out, this is like an aside, but one of my best friends, Mike, he like dated Megan Fox like around that time.
Whoa.
Like, and of course they were young, but it was like...
How old? I mean, 10, 11?
No, it was like older than when I saw It Takes Two on a Date, but it was like, it was 13, 14. Like he lived out in LA. I think they were
You're
like 15,
hanging with
16.
Some players growing up. Yeah.
That's what it is. I remember them dating though, and it was around that time. And I remember him saying, it was after she'd done Holiday in the Sun. I remember him saying, like, oh, this girl, you know, she did Holiday in the Sun. Anyway, they kind of were friends and dated a little on and off. And then recently he was telling me he's got to get back in touch with her.
Don't we all?
And then I put up all the pieces together. I was like, holy shit, that was Megan Fox. Like, I didn't realize until recently, like, the person he had told me about years ago and they dated on and off
was Megan Fox. Yeah. And he was just now being like, yeah, I gotta hit her up again.
Right. He was like, no, I had this is a long story, but I saw her at Fresh Corn mm-hmm. and with a friend. And okay. then the friend was like, oh, that's who Mike dated. And then so I texted Mike and he's like, get her number. I haven't talked to her in years. And so it was like all the whole thing. I was like, what's and then also like, yeah, I'm going to go up to Megan Fox at Fresh Corn. She was with Brian Austin Green. And I'm going to be like, hey, remember my friend dated you when you were all 15?
She's been really wanting to get in touch with you. Can you give me your phone number to give to him?
Like, so bizarre. So I did it and they're in touch now.
Yeah, love that. But that's a major Fresh Corn Grill sighting.
Yeah, it was a good one. What's been your best? Do you have a good Hollywood run-in story?
A good Hollywood run-in story. Really, the only like people I've run into in Hollywood as of recently are like Vanderpump Rules people.
Yeah,
I feel like celebs are like off my radar.
Yeah. So these other movies, Getting There, When in Rome, The Challenge was like the last made for TV one. I remember them all having like weird themes. Like it was like a soccer one and then a Paris one and then the Bahamas one.
Yeah. They were always like themed. They were going on some sort of like themed adventure.
Yeah. And they were huge hits. I mean, I remember reading, I read a little bit doing research for this. They made them so much money, like the amount of kids that would buy these made for TV movies, and they were so cheap to make. Mm-hmm. And very clearly, if you watch them, they're like not good. Some of that, you know, the acting's not great, the production value's not great, but they made so much money.
There's one scene in, what's the Atlantis one?
Holiday in the Sun.
Holiday in the Sun, where they have some sort of like major physical challenge, but it's like very easy. It's like they have to like climb a rope ladder. From point A to B, but it like made to seem like it's like really high stakes. I liked that.
I saw it when it came out and I remember wanting to go to Atlanta so bad, mm-hmm. right? But my family, we didn't have any money. And I remember we finally like family friends were like, we're going to go to Bahamas. Like we're going to go to the Bahamas. And I thought, oh my God, I'm going to go to Atlanta. So it was like, I was going to be like in Holiday in the Sun, you know? And then we book like one of the off island hotels. So it's like not like you have to take a boat to get to Atlantis.
You like see Atlantis in the distance.
Yeah,
binoculars.
We went one day to Atlantis, like, but you know we took the boat there. But yeah. I remember just being like, "Oh my God, I hope one day I can go to Atlantis and stay there." And it's basically just like a Vegas, like it's a smaller Vegas.
It's like
Vegas.
An all-inclusive.
Yeah, they have gambling.
They have gambling
there? They have gambling there. Okay, classic. This is another good story. I sound like I'm bragging at this point.
No, I need to know.
But they have gambling. And I remember when I went, I was like 17.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with our family friends, the Stacey's our age, my age. And I remember we got really dressed up because the gambling age is, I think, 18 there. And we were 17. And
it was time to scam.
So we went to a blackjack table that we saw Ja Rule sitting at. Ja Rule, of course.
Just at Atlantis?
Yeah. He was just like gambling. It was a $50 blackjack table. And I remember my friend Stacey, our parents were like gambling somewhere. They let us. They were like, you guys just walk around.
Yeah.
So we're walking around. We see Ja Rule. We spot him. And then we're like, oh my God, we have to go sit. So we're like, act old, you know, like look old. And I always looked older. Like, I don't know. I always looked like 45.
Yeah.
But I remember Stacey, she was all dressed up. And then we pooled our money to get $50 so we could like do one hand. And we did one hand. We lost it right away. And then we like left and we giggled. We were like, ha ha, oh my God. We just gambled with Ja Rule. And we thought
just
it was
lost
like.
Lost $50 next to Ja Rule.
All of our money for like
that's
the whole trip.
That's huge.
Yeah. So
what is he doing in Atlantis? Do you think a family vacay?
I don't know. Maybe making music.
Maybe he just like is an Atlantis head. And, like, that's where he wants to go.
You know what? He saw Holiday in the Sun, and like, he immediately was like, I'm vacationing there.
Yeah.
Those movies, though, that was the most memorable to me. I was reading through these, and The Challenge was, like, the last one, and it mm-hmm. was sort of, like, a scripted version of the MTV challenges.
Maybe that's the one I was thinking of where there's challenges. Because it was making me think MTV's The Challenge, but I remember one where it was, like, they're physically, like, that endurance type of challenges.
I didn't ever see that one. I just was reading about it and it was like, oh, it was like based off The Challenge, which is weird.
My best friend who lives in LA, we used to live together and she was hugely into MKNA, like had all their tapes growing up and then she got all the DVDs. So then she would intro me to these movies that I had missed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was that for you?
It was great.
Now watching them as an adult,
I was in. They have something for everyone, both children and adults. I think they might even be better. They might get better with age.
Mm, yeah. You know, it's interesting. They have this weird quality about them that is so compelling. And I guess it's that movie star quality that some people just have.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to someone who had met Julia Roberts, and they were saying, you know, you just meet her and she's got this movie star thing. And I think Mary-Kate and Ashley have that.
Yeah.
So those were like they're made for TV, DVD, whatever. But then in the year 2000, they starred in a Fox Family / later ABC Family / now Freeform series called So Little Time.
Riley, Blur's in concert this Saturday night. Maybe we should try to get tickets. Chloe, I don't even know if I'm going to make it Saturday night. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with me? How about the 15 hours of community service we have to do this week? Ugh. You lucked out. You get to spend 15 hours playing bingo with some senior citizen. I've been assigned a half a mile of the Pacific Coast Highway to pick up trash and litter. Fresh air. Exercise.
Do you remember this?
I don't remember that, but I'm pretty sure my friend Christine has that also on DVD.
The whole box set.
Yeah.
Does she just have a wall of MK and Ashley?
The full folder of like, and part of it is just dedicated to MK and A.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I watched every episode of that. I remember watching it. It was the same time they had a cartoon that aired on ABC, like Saturday mornings. So they did like this double effort, working their tails off. This was after Full House.
They were never not working.
They were never not working. And this show, So Little Time, was good.
There are twins in the show.
They always played twins. Except for in It Takes Two, which looking back on It Takes Two, they never did explain that they were twins.
They didn't.
No, like in...
They were just like...
Do you remember in The Parent Trap? They were like, oh yeah, they were separated at birth.
Yeah.
And It Takes Two,
they were just like meat.
They were just lookalikes.
Progressive.
I'm just having this realization right now.
That's cool.
They probably
that's sci-fi.
That's like super sci-fi. And they probably just couldn't get like the Parent Trap rights or something. Like, so they had to change
they're
it.
Like, don't say they're twins. Everything else is fine.
Everything else is
lookalikes. I love if I met a guy and I had a kid and his kid looked exactly like my kid, I'd be like, what the fuck is going on? It would not be my first instinct to like loll and fall in love with him.
There needs to be a Rob Zombie remake of It Takes Two as well now that's yes. just like explores this angle.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, they never, I don't think they ever once explained it.
Wow.
But there were two sitcoms. I remember there was So Little Time and one other one. But for So Little Time, Mary-Kate received a Daytime Emmy nomination. Just one of them, though. Like, Ashley did not.
Whoa. And I wonder if that, like, that was, like, a rift or caused drama between them.
I feel like
they don't have drama.
Well, I read into this very heavily because I thought, you know, she got the Emmy nom. And then after they stopped acting, which we'll get to, but after they stopped, Mary-Kate did keep acting.
Yeah.
And Ashley stopped. And I wondered, like, oh, this is because of that Daytime Emmy nom.
Maybe.
I think Ashley was like, oh, you're the better actress. So
was that the moment that Ashley said, I'm not cut out for this business?
The year 2000. That's when it all happened.
Y2K, baby.
And then 2004 comes and they appear in another feature film, New York Minute,
mm-hmm.
which I love. And that was
a classic.
That was the last time they acted together. And that's the last time Ashley acted.
I remember, because they were like 18 when New York Minute came out.
Right.
Remember that gross countdown that was like hours and minutes until they turned 18?
Yes, so disgusting and so problematic. They did an interview on Oprah that was really interesting around that time for New York Minute. And I remember them talking about their relationship with each other and then also that weird countdown to 18 thing.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to celebrate your 18th birthday besides becoming presidents of your company?
Just like a nice dinner with our friends, and
it's a hectic time.
Yeah,
I mean, it's definitely. Graduation a week before, so mm-hmm. there'll be all the graduation parties, and we just want to be with our friends.
Can you be normal with all of your friends and people at school?
Yeah, of course, and we have really, you know, good people in our lives.
Okay, let's take a quick break here, and then we'll come back and we'll talk more about New York Minute. icons. If you're anything like me, you love to spend TV commercial breaks browsing real estate listings. Now, I love watching my favorite shows and also looking up homes, especially the ones that I know that I can't afford. And my favorite app to use is Redfin. When Matt and I were looking for a home, we used the Redfin app to search for homes in the area and within our budget. The Redfin app made it super easy. Now, Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. Plus, if you see something you like, you can book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With the listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So Redfin made it so easy to filter out the homes that didn't meet or have the necessities I wanted. I still use it to search for homes close by and in the cities my favorite reality TV stars live. Download the Redfin app to get started. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/iconic. And the movie didn't even do well.
No, it was like a flop.
It was a total flop. And I remember that people thought it would be a huge success because of all their other, like, the made-for-DVD movies were, like, so hugely successful. Mm-hmm. But then the audience didn't follow them to the theaters.
Yeah, but the audience was, like, grown up. So I feel it's, like, once you're around that same age as them, it's like you want to see what they're doing next, not necessarily have more like kind of like cheesy movies where they're playing twins.
Interesting.
Like I was always here for Mary-Kate's acting career, even though I don't think that she was very good per se. Like I would watch her in anything.
Yeah.
Like watch her in Weeds. I haven't seen Beastly, which I'm putting that on the list with Ernest Scared Stupid and It Takes Two.
Sure. There's a lot to film catch festival. Up on. We're going to throw a film festival. I liked New York Minute watching it. I just rewatched it recently. Like one morning I put it on or something and I was like, oh, this is kind of cute. But it does toe that weird line where it's like, it's trying to be for young people, but then it wasn't adult enough.
Mm-hmm.
But there's weird performances from like Eugene Levy and there's just a lot of weirdness in it. It's like, it seems like they did a script and then there was no pass at the script. It was just like, the first version of the script went out into production.
Yeah. And I feel like it was written in like 2 days.
Yeah. It was like, so there's a lot of like really bizarre moments. And yeah, so I wondered why Ashley, like, did that experience turn her off? And then weren't there other reports that wasn't she ill at one point?
No, Mary-Kate was ill. So she, I think it was at the premiere of New York Minute, Mary-Kate wore this like backless purple dress. And you could basically see like all her ribs. Like she very clearly had an eating disorder. Then she went to rehab for the eating disorder. I think she went to Cirque Lodge.
So this was post New York Minute.
This is post New York Minute. And then that's like when they kind of started exploding in the tabloids. Like there was the countdown. And then by the time they turned 18, it was like Mary-Kate's in rehab. Ashley's not acting anymore. Both of them are going to go to NYU.
That was such a weird time in pop culture history because mm-hmm. it was like this the tabloid just really exploded. And that was like the Perez Hilton era, which you mentioned. And I was obsessed with that website too, which it was so problematic and
so problematic.
Weird and creepy. And
I hated that he outed people. Like it yeah. even felt wrong to me then, where I was just like, this is bizarre that this person is doing this.
Totally. Yeah. It was very weird. And even like there was, remember he would like draw on the pictures and
he'd
stuff.
Draw like cum dripping out of their mouths. Oh, that's kind of funny.
But I would go on every day, every hour I'd be refreshing.
Oh, that's like most of my college education was spent going to school and doing school stuff, but then reading Perez Hilton Delisted yeah. and then Pop Sugar was my other one.
And then also, it's weird that they were these childlike figures that were held up as like these very innocent young girls. And it's like they had a countdown, they turn 18, and then it all turns and they start to talk about their eating disorders and their problems in the tabloids. And it's like, that's such a sick business. I mean,
yeah,
it's more of a serious conversation, but
they were never really like sexual to me. Like I've never thought of them as being like sexy or whatever. They're just like cool.
Why is that? Do you think that's because of the roles they chose or just the way they were presented in media?
I think the way they were presented, and then like I just always thought of them as like girls that you would, I don't even know about being friends with them. It was just like, I want to like watch them and be like them. I want to do what they're doing. But like, I don't consider them to, and I think of them as being like, I think they're both beautiful, yeah. but at the same time, it was like, there was never any like sexual thing. It was, I think, just always fashion.
Yeah. And they always had an air of mysteriousness to mm-hmm. them. Yeah. So that was the last time Ashley acted. And then Mary-Kate, of course, went on to that Beastly movie, which was like a CW
vehicle. Vanessa, didn't take off. I wonder why.
I know. It was like Beauty and the Beast, but for CW.
Yeah.
And then she also was in Weeds and Samantha Who. I think she just appeared once in Samantha.
Okay.
Who.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. I didn't.
She didn't really give that. Oh, she was in The Whackness.
Right.
Yeah. She was great in that. she had dreadlocks.
Why do you think they'll ever act again?
No.
You don't think ever they'll ever get out of retirement?
No, I don't think they will.
I don't think I do either.
Yeah. I feel in my like heart of hearts that they're done with that. And they're into fashion now.
So when Fuller House took off, do you remember every single press event that anyone in the cast would be at? They'd be like, so when is our Mary-Kate and Ashley? And they'd always say like John Stamos would be on an interview being like, we reach out to them. And I would always be like, of course they're not going to do it. Like, why?
No, they have why so much money. Do it?
This project is, you know, not good.
They're like, God, I can't wait to step down from my fashion empire and take a role on this like shitty reboot.
And then even after season one of the reboot, they were still in interviews saying like, well, we hope they'll come on season two. And it's like, okay, stop.
Like, it's so desperate to like, because didn't they have a reference on the show where they were like, we called Michelle, but she won't call us back.
Hey, how was the birthday shopping spree?
Amazing. I got my first designer dress for the party. It's an Elizabeth and James by Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
At these prices, no wonder they don't need to act anymore.
It's cringy.
Yeah, that is embarrassing for yeah. you guys.
You know,
you're talking to a daytime winning Emmy. Or
daytime nominated.
Daytime Emmy nominated actress. And her sister.
Yeah.
Treat them with a little respect.
And then the really, so I had Elizabeth Olsen on my podcast mm-hmm. and I had asked her about it. I was like, I was like, is it weird that there were rumors of like you taking that role? Like Elizabeth Olsen's in these like acclaimed indies and stuff like that.
That kind of would have been a power move.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been insane.
That would have been insane. But like, even if it's just like, I think she should do that. Cause she is acting now. She would, for one episode only,
it would be hilarious.
That would be hilarious.
It would be a good viral moment for her, too.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
It's a lol.
That was like the first press my show, this podcast got because, so everyone picked up on the fact that she, well, there was a couple things that it picked up on, but the main thing was like that Elizabeth Olsen would never do Fuller House. Like she said that. She like laughed. She's like, why would I do that? And she laughed. And all these news outlets were reporting on it as if it was like, amazing news. It was like, of course she wouldn't do it. But now that you say this, I want her to do it.
Would really be major. Even if she just walked on, had one line and walked off. Like, they call Michelle and she picks up the phone and goes, fuck you, and then just pings it up. Amazing.
It'd be a huge power movie, yeah. Right? I want to see it. I want to talk a little bit about the fashion. So early on in their career, they did the Walmart line.
Yeah.
First of all, that Walmart line, they were producing the clothes in Bangladesh. I'm going to read this so I don't get it wrong. In 2004, that line of the Olsen's Walmart line, they made national news by signing a pledge to allow full maternity leave to all the workers that saw their line of clothing or that sewed their line of clothing in Bangladesh.
Wow.
Like, that's a pretty, that was like, I feel like the first time where they stepped into being responsible business owners and not just kind of like attaching their name or brand to something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's cool.
So I thought that was interesting because it was like, that was just their stupid little Walmart line. Like is Lauren Conrad doing that with her Kohl's line? I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't set foot in a Kohl's, I think, ever.
Yeah, well, you don't need to.
I won't.
I actually sort of like a Kohl's, I'll be honest.
Really? I don't even know where Kohl's is.
I'm from Ohio. There's like every five feet.
Yeah, I feel like maybe, have you ever watched Black Mirror?
Yeah.
You know that episode where it's like people can't see certain things, they're just like blurred out of their vision? I feel like that's me and Kohl's. Like, I grew up in Oklahoma. I'm sure there are Kohl's like all over the place, but I cannot tell you one time in my life I've ever seen one.
What's your favorite of the big brand stores? Like, what's your favorite chain store or restaurant to go to?
My favorite chain
I want store. Both answers, like a store and a restaurant.
Favorite chain store. Probably
like a Target, like, a Costco, a Marshalls.
Yeah, TJ. Target, I would say.
Target's a good one.
Yeah.
Target's a classic.
That kind of has everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And now how about your favorite chain restaurant? Like, are we like a Planet Hollywood, a Cracker Barrel, a Olive Garden?
I love a Cracker Barrel. Like, if I'm ever on a road trip, I always have to pull off. I love their, like, they have like a chicken dumpling soup or something that's like really good. And they have like cornbread, I think, that's like really delicious.
Lots of southern food.
Yeah. And anything, like, I love the store element. I love a store restaurant hybrid. And that's what really drew me to Cracker Barrel in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
A beautiful thing.
I love Chili's.
Oh, Chili's is a classic.
Yeah, I like their nachos and just like their vibe is fun.
You know what I love?
What?
A Margaritaville. Have you ever been to Margaritaville?
I have been to Margaritaville. Their nachos? It was major. Their nachos are massive.
Massive.
I ordered just an order for myself and it was it's like a volcano of nachos.
The best nachos on planet
They're
Earth.
They're really good. There are people on stilts walking around.
Right. You get circus acts. You get parrot heads throughout the restaurant.
Oh, Margaritaville, Jimmy Buffett, Margaritaville, they have a line of margarita machines.
What?
And someone got me one off my Amazon wish list. And you can make frozen margaritas, frosé, like all sorts of like blended, icy, fantastic drinks because they have like an ice shaver in the back.
I need that.
It's great. I'm really shocked that he has been able to build the empire he has built because the only Jimmy Buffett song I know is Margaritaville.
I know, that's some power.
But
shit.
Like, he has all the parrot heads.
They have like a line of goods. Those Margaritaville's, the one in Vegas, has literally a store attached, like with all sorts of goods. Like every t-shirt says like it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
He has like a full, like he has an Olsen level fashion
like,
empire.
It's almost as if the Mary-Kate and Ashley's parents are running Margaritaville.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. So what about the new clothes, like the more fancy lines? Are you familiar with any of like the Row or Elizabeth and James?
The moment that I heard of the Row, like I remember reading something that there was like they were just going to release, like they really wanted to release like the perfect t-shirt.
Mm.
And so the Row started as just a way for them to like release a t-shirt.
An outlet for the tea.
Yeah. And the t-shirt I think cost like $380 or something like that.
Sure.
It's always been like, and that's part of the draw as well, because I love things that are just like prohibitively expensive.
Sure.
Like above and beyond the call of expensive duty. And that was the Row always. And then I was obsessed.
Yeah. I don't think I own any. Do they have, men's, right? They have a men's line now.
The Row, now they're making tailored suits. I just read a whole article where they have like got like, they're doing like Japanese tailored suits for men. They have jeans. I think you might need a Row suit.
I'm going to go immediately after this and go get some Row clothes.
Yeah.
I want to talk about one big story, and this is my favorite Mary-Kate Ashley bit of gossip, and it's Mary-Kate's wedding, she married a man 15 years older. His name is Olivier Sarkozy. I hope I'm saying that name right. He's the half-brother of a former president of France, which is amazing.
Power move, yeah.
Amazing. And there's these reports that at the wedding, they had cigarette bowls at the tables.
Yeah.
And I'm obsessed with this, and I asked Elizabeth about this, and she would neither confirm or deny, which leads me to believe that it's true,
it's
right?
It's true, for sure. I mean, that is very on brand.
Right?
Like, there was never a question in my mind. It was just, like, always accepted as fact.
So my question to you is it okay to have cigarettes at the wedding?
Definitely. It's your day. You get to do whatever. It's your day.
And I think people, when people are drinking, they like to smoke, some people. And I mean, it's, and he's a Frenchman. So, you know, it's different in France.
It's people actually smoke. Like thoughtful.
Yeah. I actually thought, so I was reading all of these reports on it and they all present it as if it's like some horrible thing. And I don't smoke cigarettes, but I think that's nice to have them there available for people if they want them.
That's now, a nice thing to do at your wedding.
I agree.
For others.
I agree. Now, I don't like the idea of people smoking at the table. Like, that grosses me out. But then he's a Frenchman.
Yeah. It's different over there.
It's different over there. But yeah. I'm endlessly fascinated by that story. And I need somebody there had, I know they didn't have pictures there, but somebody had to have snuck in like one of those disposable cameras or something.
I don't know. They run with a tight knit crew.
Yeah.
So like, something fun to do also, if you're ever trying to like find them on Instagram, like I've lurked some of their friends on Instagram and like every once in a while they'll do like, you'll see an Olsen twin like pop up at someone's wedding or something like that. And their friends, I don't know if they do this recently, but they used to hashtag, hey, MK, hey, Ash. So if you search hashtags,
oh my God,
you might come across some just like random Insta.
Who are some good friends? Like, do you know of someone specific that we can look that is friends with them?
Because
I feel like I don't know who they're close with.
Their friend, this is going to like out me as a real creep. Yeah. I can't.
I also don't get the impression that they're that close with Elizabeth.
Really?
I don't know. But again, they're so mysterious. So it's like, I think they're just are good, like, at we'll hiding never everything. Know.
They're so like hidden away. Yeah. There's one woman that's a clothing designer. Staud is her clothing line, STAUD. And she, if you like look and find her and then start looking around, her and like her friends are the ones that are like around Olsen's.
Are there any other final stories or career moves or anything that stick out to you about Mary-Kate and Ashley that you would like us to discuss? And then I have some few closing questions.
You know, I feel like there is just like, there's too much to even like go over.
Like I said, we're just scratching the surface because I feel like,
remember when Ashley dyed her hair brown?
Yeah.
And that was like pretty big. Wild.
It was big.
And it only lasted for like a month or something. Yeah. I wonder if she was just trying out like a new, like, what would it feel like to be so different from my twin?
Yeah.
And then she realized like, this isn't really me. And then went back to blonde, or if it was like for a project or something.
I would love to see the two of them in the same room because you know how twins have that weird like telepathic ability or whatever. Like, I would just want to watch them two together. And I really feel like they would be communicating without any words.
Have you ever seen that Instagram video of them like touching each other's hands, like giving like a little hand language sign to each other?
No, but I'm obsessed with that.
There's always like whenever they have a presentation for the row, like they'll be there kind of lurking in the background with like huge coats on and like a Starbucks. Just like watching. And then it was at one of those presentations where like it ended and people were clapping and they like touched hands and like were doing like a little squeeze thing. Oh, and I was like, oh my God. Like, I follow a lot of like Olsen dedicated accounts that will post like there was one today. I woke up and was scrolling and it was like, MKNA spotted for the first time in forever. Like, oh, they're God. Walking out of like some sort of restaurant and it's like, look at Ashley's shoes and her coat. And she was wearing like these Nike Cortezes. And I was like, where do I get these? Like, what? And like, it was like
your brain just explodes.
Yeah. And then people will comment underneath that. Like, one comment, they get really intense. And all the
fans
Olsen,
are still crazy. Intense.
The fans are crazy, but also the people that run these accounts sometimes war with each other. Cause if they post like similar photos or whatever,
sure.
It creates like,
that's like the Bravo world, like Bravo memes. Like, there's accounts of when people post the same thing or steal it from each other, they'll all like, yell at each other.
Yeah, the community will get galvanized for justice. Yeah, well, this one commenter said, she was like, Look, I really like this account, but you know what? I'm going to bark in the comments if it looks like you're posting pictures of the girls when they clearly don't want to be photographed.
I'm going
to
bark in the comments.
I was like, whoa, bark in the comments is a cool turn of
phrase. I'm using that.
Yeah, but then also, then the account person wrote back and they were like, when do they want to be photographed?
Right. You'll never see a photo of them.
No. And so like I live for like, and I think it's kind of the chicest paparazzi look is when a celeb is just walking in and out of a restaurant, kind of not looking done, just like, mm-hmm. And I like that they don't wear a lot of makeup and have just natural hair and they're wearing like $50,000 worth of clothing and accessories.
I saw a recent picture of Mary-Kate and the husband, what's his name, the Olivier, mm-hmm. But right away I saw them and I was like, it's Carrie and Big from Sex and the City. Like, that's the look they have.
They do have that look.
Like, he actually does look like Big and he's much taller than her.
Yeah.
And he's dark. And then she's tiny and she kind of has that Carrie Bradshaw vibe. And it's like, they look exactly.
Always had just like the best hair too.
Okay. So some quick questions.
Okay.
What should they do next?
I think, yeah, just build a brand, like more Row. I would love, like, they would never do this, but I would love a Row for someone else.
Oh, like Row for Target or something?
Yeah, but I would, it needs to be like just a tad bit less expensive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not.
Yeah,
I'd love to collab with them on a t-shirt or a pair of jeans.
Did you ever see that Very Mary Kate?
Yeah.
It was so fucking funny.
So funny. So good. Bodyguard.
Yeah, that was so good. It was like an online series that someone did.
Yeah, you guys got to Google it.
You have to Google it.
It's ahead of its time, actually.
Totally.
Like, that could come out now and still be as funny as it was then.
Time to get up.
What time is it?
Wednesday.
When did I go to bed?
December.
Wait a second. How do I know that this isn't a dream and that my dream isn't real life? Nice try, subconscious bodyguard, but I've been asleep for a month and it's time for me to wake up.
Where is that woman? She was hilarious.
She's a star. She needs, I'm going to invite her on this podcast.
You should.
How long do you think Fuller House will go?
I mean, hopefully not much longer.
What?
For you, I hope longer because it sounds like you
love
have
it. Well, Maria, I want it.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure I don't have any new episodes as soon as it's done. I'm going to check.
Crack open the Pinot Noir.
What's your favorite film performance of them or acting performance in general?
I would say It Takes Two for both of them and then The Whackness for Mary-Kate.
Yeah. And where can people find you on social media?
People can find me at Lars Marie on all socials.
And then tell me about your podcast that you have going.
So I have a few podcasts. I have one called Sexy Unique Podcast, which is all about Vanderpump Rules. I'm doing fan fiction origin episodes right now of like all the main cast members. And those are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I have...
And the new season will be starting... This will be out in like late November, probably.
Yeah.
So the new season will be starting soon of
The new
of
season
Vanderpump.
Will be starting. And I'm also going to release, I think, leading up to the new season, season one recaps.
Awesome.
It's good to go back to the beginning.
I actually almost find the early season recaps more fun because it's like you know so much. Looking back at those old seasons, like you know so much.
So much more is like contextualized and it's like such a rich history and it is like a history lesson. I'm a professor.
So that's Sexy Unique Podcast.
That's Sexy Unique Podcast. I have another podcast called Babe. That's just like me and my friends talking about whatever we want. And mostly it's like lols, but then sometimes we'll get into like our most babe moments and how we like turn those into triumphs.
Love that. And that's Babe.
That's Babe. And then I have another podcast called Saving Sex in the City 3. Where I just recreate.
Speaking of Carrie and Big.
Yeah. Good tie-in.
Thank you.
Every episode, I come up with a new plot for the canceled Sex and the City 3 movie because I'll never get over it.
Me either.
Being taken away. And you were on an episode.
We had so much fun.
It was so
and so crazy.
So crazy.
So bizarre. But it's like
but
the most
worked.
Fun, bizarre.
Yeah.
I love all of your stuff. It's just the most brilliant, funny. Mm,
thank you.
Whatever.
I think
all
the same about you.
Thank you. Laura Marie, thank you so much for doing this with me. I had so much fun scratching the surface on Mary-Kate and Ashley. And you know what? We might have to do a part two one day.
I would love a part two. Because once I started really got the ball rolling, I was like, I could sit here for hours and talk about that.
I mean, there's so much. There's so many other news stories, news events, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So Laura Marie, thank you so much. Please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook, it's facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. Join the Everything Iconic Facebook group. Thank you to Samsung Technologies for sponsoring this podcast.
You got it, dude.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I want to encourage everyone to head on over to the Everything Iconic Patreon page. So if you go to www.patreon.com/everythingiconic, there's a little button there that says become a patron. And if you pledge $4 more per month, not only are you helping to support this podcast, but you're also going to get access to all of the Everything Iconic bonus episodes. There's exclusive pop dives over there. There's a comeback pop dive, you know, the HBO show, my all-time fave show. There's also recaps of the Real Housewives of New York Scary Island. So all three Scary Island recaps are up there. And then there's also earlier Real Housewives of New York recaps over there. And then I'm also going to be recapping iconic Housewife episodes. So I'll tell you more about that later. But please head on over to patreon.com/everythingiconic. Again, thank you guys so much for listening. Let's do a quick little cool down. Everyone take a deep breath in and breathe out. Take another deep breath in. Hold it. Now I just want us to all think about Mary-Kate and Ashley and all the our favorite moments. Breathe out. I hope you thought of a good moment. Maybe it's her saying, you got it, dude, on Full House. Or maybe it's one of those classic scenes from It Takes Two. Regardless, I'd just like us all to take a moment today and thank the heavens for the Olsons, because they've given us so much, particularly those of us of a certain age. They've really given us a lot of entertainment. Again, I love you guys so much for listening. Bye-bye.